This is Stephen Strang. Well, Jim Baker is back in the news, and it's not all positive. In fact, the internet is afire with criticisms about Jim Baker. But I know the truth, and what they're telling is a lie. So today, on a special edition of the Strang Report, I expose the lies and tell you what is really happening. So stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to my podcast today. I've known Jim Baker for a long, long time. I know that he is no stranger to controversy. And in fact, he went to prison in the late 1980s, and he received a 45-year sentence. He could have spent the rest of his life there if it weren't for what I consider to be a miracle. And that was that Harvard law professor Alan Dershowitz, who I respect highly, did something totally unexpected. He came to Jim's aid. He defended him free, because he believed that Jim's sentence by a biased judge was a total injustice, and the courts agreed. Jim released for the time served in 1994 after spending 5 years in prison. After losing everything, including his wife and ministry, he has started over, and I visited his new ministry in Missouri. It's called Morningside. It's beautiful. Now Baker's in the news again. And as I'll explain in detail in this podcast, on February 12th, he offered a product, a supplement called Silver Solution on his program, The Jim Baker Show. Now, this Silver Solution is known to help fight some viruses. And his guest that day was Dr. Cheryl Selman, who is an expert on supplements and integrative health and so forth. And she was on the show. And she clearly said that this supplement, which is known to help some viruses, had not yet been tested for COVID-19, but that it might help your immunity system fight viruses. Now, I've used this product. I believe in those kind of supplements. I did not happen to see that show. It was taped on February 6th, and that was only less than a week after President Donald Trump issued his travel ban from China. It was about the time that the World Health Organization issued a statement that there was a cause for emergency, but they didn't actually call it a pandemic for almost a month. Now, that show aired on February 12th, and they implied that it might help you, but they clearly said it was not a cure. But their critics have blown that out of proportion to say that he was offering a cure for COVID-19. Now, if he had actually said, if you're dying of COVID-19 and you take this product, then I guarantee you're going to be well, you know, I would have been the first one to criticize him. But he didn't say that. But people read into it, I guess, what they thought. And the fact that he'd been in prison and the fact he'd been in the news just made it all the more sensational. And virtually all of the news accounts about it have been negative. So what they're saying about him is a lie. And they also say that he went to jail for bilking people at PTL. That's also a lie. And I just want to set the record straight. And so I decided to do this podcast and also to write what we call an op-ed, just stating my view of what's happening, my perspective as someone who has known Jim for a long time, and also setting the record straight with the facts that I know. Now, if you follow my career at all, you know that I was trained as a secular journalist at the University of Florida. I began my newspaper career at the Orlando Sentinel, but I've spent most of my career covering the charismatic Christian community, and that included covering Jim Baker and PTL back in the early part of that ministry. In fact, I remember flying up to Heritage USA, up to Charlotte, North Carolina, in other words, in 1983, and I did an in-depth report. I shadowed Jim all day long and, you know, interviewed him in the process. He showed me around the property. We ended up having dinner together before I flew home that evening and wrote my article. And my article was basically about his ministry, how he got started, and also how huge his vision is, but also about the fact that he was controversial even back in 1983. And a lot of the controversy back then was just mainly his flamboyant style and how large and quickly his ministry was growing. A lot of people considered him somewhat arrogant. And I remember observing back then that he wasn't really like that at all. In fact, he had kind of a childlike purity in his love for the Lord and for people. But I also observed a certain childishness, you know, things like naivety and being self-centered. And I think that that turned a lot of people off. So I saw that he was childlike in his faith and kind of childish in some of the things he did. And I don't say that to be critical. I just make those observations. A couple of years later, I was up at Heritage USA with my family. Our oldest son was probably about 10, and my wife was pregnant with our younger son. And it was about that time that the Charlotte Observer, which apparently had a vendetta in for Jim Baker, broke a big expose. And the expose was that he had a fling with his secretary one time. Now, in Christian circles, that is scandalous. And there was a big backlash, and Jim resigned. And extramarital affairs is something, as a Christian, I don't approve of at all. But I was in the newspaper business, and I know from the scuttlebutt going around the newsroom that they were not uncommon. So in a way, it was a little bit hypocritical, at least as far as I was concerned, that it was something that, you know, was fairly common in the secular community, certainly in the journalistic community, but yet for a preacher like Jim, it was front page news. Now, that started kind of a tragic set of circumstances that created a downward spiral, and things at PTL just started to unravel. And he ended up going to prison. And I think that history will show that there were people, including the Charlotte Observer and others, who were just kind of out to get him. And it had all the elements of a scandal that the press loved. There were, the ministry brought in lots of money. There was an extramarital fling. There were, the whole PTL ministry as part of Pentecostalism, which is kind of flamboyant. And also some of the elites up there in Charlotte kind of looked down on Jim Baker's followers. They kind of considered them deplorables. And of course, this was years before Hillary Clinton kind of made that word famous. So what did Jim Baker do that actually landed him in prison? You know, people say that he bilked millions of dollars. He didn't. He raised millions of dollars. And one of the things he did as an incentive to donate is he told his partners that they could stay free at the magnificent hotel that his ministry built there at Heritage USA. And they could stay free for 1 week a year, as I recall. And some prosecutors analyzed that if all the partners that they had made that promise to showed up at the same time, they did not have enough hotel rooms. And somehow that was fraud. Now, not being a lawyer, I may have oversimplified it, but basically I covered it at the time, and I understand that to be true, that it was fraud that they had overbooked. Now, if you know anything about the airline business, you know that they routinely overbook. And so do other industries, you know, where they may have a lot of no-shows or whatever. But to my knowledge, PTL never turned anybody away because people basically didn't show up at the same time. So I don't consider that fraud. And it's a lie to say that he bilked millions of dollars, as some people online are actually saying. Now, he did raise millions of dollars, but he did it to spread the gospel. He did it to spread the gospel through television and to build a huge media center that costs lots of money. And also he built that magnificent, they called it a park. It wasn't exactly a theme park, but it was very, very popular. And I grew up in Pentecostalism, and people used to go to camp meetings. And I remember as a kid going with my parents, and they were usually really run down and big old wooden tabernacles, they used to call them, and very minimalistic cabins. They used to call them cabins that we'd stay in. Here, Jim Baker had done a kind of a 20th century camp meeting with very nice facilities, the same kind you go if you went on vacation somewhere. We thought it was great, and that's why I had my family up there. And this was a place where his partners could come, and they had meetings. They used to call them camp meetings, you know, where they would sing and preach and shout. That's what Pentecostals do. And they could fellowship, and it was good, clean fun. There was, I remember my son felt very safe letting my son kind of run around and play outside. There were lots of places for kids to play in little lakes, and it was just very, very nice. And somehow this was wrong, and they got Jim, and the whole thing collapsed. You know, thankfully, years later, another ministry got the property. Now it's being used for gospel purposes. But Jim went to prison. He lost everything, including his wife and his ministry. But I also have seen that Jim has come back, and I really admire that. He, you know, after he served his time, he was found guilty of doing some things wrong. I didn't look them up before this podcast, but I remember that they were fairly, I'm going to say small things, small in the sense of not something you'd go to prison over. And I just think that he was wrongly accused. That's my opinion. But I've also seen that what happened to him would have destroyed most people. Yet I really admire the fact that he started over and built a wonderful new ministry called Morningside in southern Missouri. I've been there numerous times. I think that he's learned from his mistakes. And instead of trying to raise millions of dollars in donations, they do take donations as a nonprofit ministry, but he has also supported his ministry through selling Christian books and products, a lot of health products and that type of thing, things that he believes in and that people needs. And one of those products is the Silver Solution. He's offered it for over 10 years. There was never a controversy. As I said, I use products to help with my immune system. I have some here at my home right now. And so his guest, Dr. Selman, they talked about the health benefits, as I said earlier, but they clearly said it had not been tested for COVID-19. Now, in hindsight, they probably should have not said COVID-19 and this product in the same show. But it was very new, and I guess they just didn't think it through. Of course, that I'm assuming that. There was an implication that if you didn't know what to do, that, you know, this couldn't hurt, it might help. But they didn't say it was a cure. They didn't say it would help. It was just that that was their opinion, it would help. And there were some complaints, and the Attorney General in Missouri did issue a cease and desist. And of course, Jim complied with that. He also offered to refund any money if anybody asked for their money back. Now, when that story broke, I expected Baker's ministry to issue a press release. The few news reports that I saw talked about how he built money at PTL, and now he was at it again. Well, I tracked down a clip of the show and watched it myself and saw that wasn't the case. And of course, I knew from my own reporting years ago that he did not literally bilk people. They were able to kind of trump up charges that somehow overbooking was some kind of fraud. And I didn't want to run the story without having Jim's side. So I finally called Jim and I asked him, why he didn't issue a statement. It, you know, if you get to know him personally, he's almost timid when he's not in front of a camera. He didn't sort of know how to defend himself. And, but, you know, I have gotten to know him over the years. I know that he loves people. I know that he has a lifetime of helping people. I know that he is a Pentecostal, and a lot of people don't understand Pentecostals. They don't like the theology of speaking in tongues. They, you know, there are a lot of religious people that disagree over religious things. I frankly think that people that think that's wrong are wrong themselves. But as Americans, we all have the right to our own views about religion. You know, Jim Baker is not going to satisfy these people. They're kind of constantly looking for him to slip up somehow. And so some people have had a field day. And I just felt after, you know, several weeks have passed that I should write this op-ed and just tell my view of what happened. Now, like I, you know, someday the coronavirus pandemic is going to be in the past. I hope it's sooner instead of later. And I believe that in the same way this controversy will be passed. And when that happens, I believe that Jim Baker's name will be cleared and he can get back to preaching the gospel and doing the things that he believes God has called him to do. That may not satisfy his critics, but they didn't like him before this came up, and they won't like him after it's over. And there's a lot of other ministries proclaiming the gospel they don't like either. I mean, these people, some of them just want to bash religion. They're uncomfortable with religion being in the public square. I believe that there are people whose goal is to destroy ministries. I don't think it's right, but our freedoms in America allow that. But I think that we need to stand up to it. And my expressing my opinion, both as a journalist and also as someone who has covered the ministry and has got to know Jim and his wife, Lori, and some of their staff pretty well, I think that we need to stand up and we need to be unified. Jim did not do anything illegal, at least not in my opinion. It was probably a mistake, as I said earlier, for him to mention it, but he's done everything he can to try to right that. And it's very clear, the tape, the videotape is very, very clear. They did not call it a cure. Now, I have a brother named Paul, who's a minister in Kentucky. If he were being attacked, I would definitely come to his defense. Jim Baker is my Christian brother, and I just feel that I'm standing up and speaking the truth, expressing my perspective and my opinion, because I believe that reasonable people will see that Jim Baker may have made a mistake. He's made mistakes before, haven't we all? But he's also paid dearly for his mistakes, and I think that the Christian community needs to rally around him. And that's what I'm trying to do. So with that, I'll end this edition of the Strang Report. I'll thank you for listening. I'll invite you to share it with your friends. Because of people like you, my numbers have been really going up, almost 1 million a month. People listen to my podcast. And I hope people will listen to this one and read the article that we have on Charisma News, because I'm wanting to set the record straight. When people Google Jim Baker on the internet, I want this to come up rather than just all the ones who slam him for the reasons that I already explained. Thank you for listening. Tune in again for another edition of the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.